Good morning and welcome to Finding Your Way Home, Real Talk on Real Estate. My name is Sherry Doherty and I have the pleasure of being your host every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Today, I am delighted to have in the studio with me two special guests, actually. I have two recent first-time home buyers who actually are also from two different provinces. So I thought that this would bring some really interesting perspective to the differences across Canada, as well as how things are there versus Ontario and what their recent experiences were like buying their first home. So I'm very delighted today to welcome into studio with me Monique Knudsen, who is here from Nova Scotia, and Sarah Marie Maslin, who is here from Saskatchewan. Welcome to the studio, ladies.
We are very happy to be here today.
Thank you for having us, Sherry.
Excellent. I am more than excited to jump into this conversation. So let's start with Sarah Marie. If you can give a very brief overview of, number one, why you moved to Saskatchewan, number two, your home buying experience, and what your biggest learning was buying your first time home. That's a lot of things. So
that
if I need to remind you, let's start with why you moved to Saskatchewan.
That one's an easy one to start with. Absolutely. So I am actually from Kingston, Ontario. I am Sherry's daughter. Yeah, surprise, surprise. I'm Sherry's daughter. And I moved to Saskatchewan about a year and a half ago. I live in the raging metropolis of Moose Jaw with a total of 30,000 people. And I moved there because my now husband was posted with the Air Force. So we moved out there from Kingston. He was a Queen's student here as well. Go Gales. And now we live in Moose Jaw.
Okay, perfect. And how long ago did you buy your first home?
We bought our home in November of 2024, so okay, just over a year and a half ago, and you came out with us for our house hunting trip, which was lovely.
My favorite house hunting trip ever.
Yes, we had never bought a home before, and even being around the real estate industry for so long with being with my mom and going to the number of different REMAX conventions and just learning things through you, and I even took a course or two. About a career in real estate and maybe one day, but yeah, I felt like I had a good understanding of the industry, but it's the biggest purchase of your life, as you talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what we were doing. And especially in a completely different market, you have a general idea of what's going on in your home city. But when you're flying two or three provinces away, you don't know any real estate agents there. You don't know what's a good price. You want your mom.
your mom also happens to be a real estate professional
who can help you work out those kinks. So we were very grateful to have you there, and definitely changed the home buying experience.
It was my favorite.
Yeah, our realtor was great, but it was very nice to have you.
As a reminder for the listeners, is this was a military house hunting trip.
It was.
So we had 5 days.
Yes.
The thing that I found interesting was, particularly in this market, we had a certain budget that we had to stay within, and we had a certain standard of home that you were looking for. And so when you put those criteria on Moose Jaw, there's 4 houses.
We had slim pickings. So we flew in. This was the first week of November 2024, and we had to be fully moved in to our home and ready to go by December 1st.
Oh, so it also had to be vacant, I remember. Yes.
So it had to be vacant, move in ready, good to go. And we flew in Sunday morning. We saw every available house in Moose Jaw on Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I think we put an offer in on Monday night. And I probably would have put an offer in on Sunday night, but my husband's a little more of a critical thinker than I am, and I'm a little impulsive. But
we do.
Yeah. As soon as we walked into that, like, I literally do not know what else we would have selected outside of, but we moved into a beautiful home. I'm so happy there. And people ask me all the time if I'm happy in Saskatchewan, and yeah, it's a beautiful province and different pace of living than something out here. Even in Kingston, there's just less to do. But I think really, like, having a wonderful home has made the world of a difference. If I had to come home every day to a place I didn't love, it would change the experience for me.
And for context, and I'm sure you don't mind me sharing, you can buy a fully detached single family home that backs on actually to a park with a beautiful deck on it.
Our deck is the best.
For less than $350,000 in Saskatchewan. Now, you have to live in Moose Jaw.
You have to live in Saskatchewan. So there's pros and cons. You can get into the housing market, but yes, you have to live in Saskatchewan. Right. And you can only walk around winters so many times.
Right. But you here, you could probably get a condo for under $350,000.
Yes.
And then there comes with all the pros and cons of condos as well.
Exactly.
So we'll put a pause on that for a second because I am going to come back and ask you what your greatest learning of your first home buying experience was. But let's flip over to Monique.
Absolutely.
So Monique, you also bought a home in Nova Scotia. Why did you move there? Because you were from Ontario as well.
I am. So I grew up in Innisfil, which is right near Barrie. Lived there my whole life. And my parents are originally from Nova Scotia, from Cape Breton Island, to be more specific. I knew that once my parents retired as an only child, I would want to be closer to my parents eventually. However, I also knew that buying in Ontario would not be an easy process as a first-time home buyer. The idea of putting down as much money as they were asking at the time really scared my husband and I. And we knew it would be easier and we wouldn't be house poor if we moved somewhere that we knew my parents would be. And the rest of my family all lives down there. And I was very grateful that my husband agreed to go.
Yeah, and he's a good one.
He is, yeah.
So what I remember that was most striking about your purchase, because we did chat about it as well. I wasn't quite as into it as I was with Matt.
I sent you my deal.
But you did send me the deal and say, can you look at this?
Yeah.
But you bought a home. I'm going to describe it and then you correct me. Okay. But you bought a home that is very large, very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I think it was, so it has a secondary suite.
Yes.
And I think maybe it used to be a garage, but somebody converted it into a full secondary suite. So you were sharing with your parents.
So our house, it has an in-law suite attached to the garage part of it.
Okay.
The in-law suite, from what we understood when we bought, was built, I think it was 11 years after the house was built.
Okay.
So they did it as an addition for their, the old homeowner's in-laws at the time.
Okay.
Now my parents live in there.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that was fantastic. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that was under $250,000.
It was close. It was $268,000.
Okay. Yeah. I know it was definitely under $300,000, and I'm thinking that is insane. Now, you have to live in Glace Bay. Well, so most people don't know where Glace Bay is.
So if you were in Nova Scotia ever and you're in Halifax, we are on Cape Breton Island. So you'd have to go at least 4.5 hours to Glace Bay from Halifax, which is where I live.
Okay.
It's very similar idea to Moose Jaw. It's a different pace of living. Not everyone loves it. I'm not a city girl, so I always enjoy being more in the country. And that fit my husband and I's vibe way more. So we love it. I couldn't imagine being anywhere else now that we're here.
That's great.
I often tell people they'll have to pry my house out of my dead cold hands. I love it that much.
That's great. And it is beautiful. Your husband is very talented and has done incredible work on it.
Yes.
What do people do for work in Glace Bay?
It really is very spread out. There's a lot of healthcare workers and a lot of teachers. If you don't do those stereotypical jobs, a lot of it is unfortunately, an older population. So it's a lot of my parents' age. The young ones that are trying to buy right now that are younger than me, I'm going to be 30 soon. But the younger generation that are trying to buy homes now, they're having a little bit of a harder time. Very similar to what's happening here because the prices have gone up so much. So they're struggling a little bit. But for the most part, it's mostly people that work in education, healthcare, and then retirees.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is it the type of place we actually all met, truth be told, in Barrie, which was considered at the time a bedroom community where you could sleep and then drive to Toronto to make your money? Is there any access to a bigger urban center people could leave there to go make money, or is it just too far?
So most of them would work in Sydney, which is about a 15-minute drive from Glace Bay.
Oh, that's it?
Okay. Yeah. There, a lot of the males used to work. They'd go out west to work. It's not as prevalent as it used to be. But most of the time, we're just going into Sydney. That's our hub. That'd be going from Innisfil to Barrie.
Okay. Or Kingston to Amherst, I had to give a context.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's flip back to Sarah Marie. What do you think was the biggest thing you learned through the process of buying a house, or your biggest surprise?
I don't know if there was as many surprises for me with the house buying process just because I have access to you.
Well, so context, you were working for me.
Correct.
In the real estate business at the time. So you'd heard the words.
Oh,
and like
exactly.
You said, you've been to a RE/MAX conference.
Oh, I've been to many RE/MAX conferences.
Right.
So, yeah. So I think I had a good understanding of what the process was going to look like. I wouldn't be able to say, trying to think specifically, maybe Monique can, do you have a surprise? And yeah, okay,
okay,
Monique can get on
ready.
That and then I'll ponder.
Okay.
I remember when we were first buying our house, I had no idea, and I don't want to like use the word hidden, but the hidden costs that come with buying a home. I didn't understand
that there was, unexpected.
Yeah, like there was lawyer fees, your closing costs, and then your moving costs, and I didn't really understand like honestly how much money I should be putting down for my down payment. Like I wasn't sure if it was too much, too little. I remember being very nervous about that. I think that my husband and I were more unfamiliar with it. And we also had the challenge of buying a home and trusting someone else to walk through the home other than us seeing it on like a video
call. Oh, you didn't
go
in person?
No, we never saw it until after we bought, which
okay,
was a huge thing.
Okay, but your realtor was family, weren't they?
He is like part of like the in-law family.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Perfect.
So we trusted that a little bit. And like even like talking to like your lawyer on the phone about like closing costs. And we did have a little bit of a kerfuffle when it came to closing with our deed.
Okay, go ahead. There's always an interesting story, so please share.
This was probably like the biggest surprise. When we were purchasing our home, it was a couple that were going through a divorce at the time. And because of that, the ex-wife held the deed hostage from the final closing.
Oh boy.
Until she was able to be given her proper child support that was owed to her by her ex-husband. So at one point, my husband and I actually were going to walk away from the sale of the home, which was really hard for both of us because we really did love the home.
Mm-hmm.
We were really sold on the idea of like the setup and everything. And I remember our lawyer telling us, we were on our way, we were in Quebec. Our lawyer called us and said, turn around, you're not buying this home.
Oh no.
And I was crying and my husband's like, we'll just go home, we'll talk about it. And my lawyer's like, I strongly recommend you do not go forward with the sale.
Really?
For what she's trying to do to the both of you. You can also like then sue if you want.
Yeah.
So we were incredibly stressed out. It was the worst 2 weeks. And then I remember we negotiated again and we said like, this is it. Like you either hand the deed of the, like the house over and the keys, or we're walking away and you'll have to give us back our down payment. And there will be like a legal action taken against you.
Right. And this was after the deal was firm.
Yeah. Oh
so
yeah.
Failure to close.
Yes.
Okay. You can definitely sue for that.
I've never been so stressed out in my life. It was horrible, but it did all end up working out, but I'll never forget it. It made the process incredibly tainted and very stressful.
Right.
I thought it was supposed to be a magical experience. I was so excited. And then this was all happening and quickly everything turned like pretty negative.
Yeah. You absolutely remember the experience of buying. You only buy a house. Most people only buy a house 3-4 times in their lifetime, unless you're an investor or somebody like that, but 3-4 times. So you're going to remember it.
Absolutely.
And that is why like my personal mission is if I'm going to be attached to one of your core memories, it better be a good core memory. I don't want to be part of something like that you can't prevent,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sure your realtor could have stepped in and helped you stick handle and help you even just be there to take you through it and say, you know, if this wasn't meant to be, there'll be other options mm-hmm. and there's a reason and calm you down, because we definitely play social worker and sometimes marriage counselor.
I believe it. I think we would have been incredibly lucky to have a real estate agent like you.
Yeah,
ours didn't
thanks.
Really take the forefront, unfortunately, in that kind of conversation. It was mostly our lawyer. Even when it came to like getting the keys handed over, our like real estate agent was pretty hard to track down to give the keys over to like the
really?
Lawyer at the time. Yeah. And it was hard because once again, my husband and I weren't present in the province. We weren't there. So we didn't have any control.
Right.
We had to put a lot of trust into people that we didn't know super well. So it would have been really nice to have the opportunity to have someone who like cared as much about our first time home buying experience as someone like you, Sherry.
Right. Yeah.
And like given us the time and the consideration to like really walk us through all those things, because we didn't have that experience.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Well, and that is so important to people. 100%.
Makes a difference.
I had a question, and I don't know this, maybe I should. Is there land transfer tax in Nova Scotia?
There is, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's sometimes an unpleasant surprise.
Didn't know about that when we were buying our house.
Okay.
I remember being like, and what is this?
What's this mm-hmm. amount?
Yes, that was a thing. I remember like talking to my husband, because we had like obviously our money saved and we had to then decide like where we were going to budget putting in towards land transfer tax, your down payment, your lawyer fees, you want to like keep in mind of the rest of your closing costs.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a lot of hidden little surprises,
mm-hmm.
things I didn't know at the time. And I had no experience in real estate before buying or attempting
to
purchase our first home.
Your parents live in that house forever.
Yes.
As long as I've ever known you, which is your whole life,
yeah.
You never moved.
from the same house.
They were there. It would have been 30 years when they finally sold their home.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And like that was my entire childhood home.
Yeah.
I never knew anywhere different.
Right. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And they bought their house back in like the early 90s, I think it was. And it was $150,000.
Yeah, and it was a great house.
It was. It was stunning.
It was a great house.
It was.
That's right. All right, Sarah Marie, did you come up with any ahas from your first-time home buying experience?
I would just say that my home buying experience was unique because it was a military move. And so that was something that I think, obviously, most people will not experience. Just the rush of the entire situation was very unique. But we were able, like I said, our house was vacant, so we were able to get in that 30-day window, which was wonderful. But a unique situation that happened with us, and my mom talked me and my husband off the cliff with it, was there was some weird stuff going on with something that was falsely advertised in the listing.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So there was in the listing, the realtor was advertising like a closing bonus.
Yes.
For like $2,500. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, sweet, we're getting a $2,500 discount. I was already spending it in my head. I was like, we're going to do this.
That's
we're
going to
get this and a home gym. And in the negotiation process, the realtor we were working with, so it was the seller's realtor that was advertising this.
Yes. She didn't really understand it.
Yeah, it was, I don't know.
Math for that point.
Yeah. She pulled it in
the negotiation.
In the negotiation.
Because and we were for simplicity purposes, saying we were offering $3,500, but that would have meant that she thought we were offering like $5,500 with or without, and it just got really complicated. And your husband and I were negotiating in the car in the parking lot of a restaurant.
Of a Canadian brewhouse, yeah. I was sitting
and
in front of a...
really smart.
Yes, I know. I was sitting in front of an appetizer platter, like waiting for them to come back into the restaurant while they negotiated in the car. But yeah, that was pulled. And then, my husband was quite frustrated about it in the moment, but my mom and my real estate advocate explained to us that obviously there's nothing else here, you guys have no other options. But over a 25-year amortization period, it was a $7 difference.
I say that all the time.
Yeah.
So one of the things I talk about is people always feel like they need to win, because people feel like they need to win by human nature. However, sometimes you're nickel and diming, or you're going to walk away on a deal over, say, like $1,000. And I will sit people down and say, do you realize that $1,000 over a 25-year mortgage is something like maybe $5 a mortgage payment? You're going to go buy a coffee at Tim Hortons later and throw that away. And you're going to walk away from this house and this deal and the costs and the time incurred. And a lot of times you've emotionally moved in. And yes, I know we all want to win because people want to win. And I will also do the same thing for when I'm representing a seller who will potentially say, well, this isn't what I wanted. I'm going to let the deal walk away over, say, $5,000. And then I remind them then if we stay on the market any longer, they're going to pay another month of property tax, another month of heat and hydro. And if they're still living in it, internet, water, insurance, it's not worth the $5,000. I know you had a number in your mind that you wanted to sell for, but absolutely, it doesn't make sense. You have to break down that math.
Speaking of property tax, that sucks. not a fan. Interesting about Moose Jaw, though, it's a very vintage experience. I have to go to City Hall to pay my property tax and water bill in person. So that's very,
that is very retro.
Very vintage. So,
well, what I find interesting is, well, you also learned very early on what happens when a hot water tank explodes.
Yeah, that happened too.
Right?
Yeah.
You were saying I have to buy, what was the things? A hot water tank, a lawnmower, and one other thing that you felt was very adult.
A snowblower. You need a snowblower in Moose Jaw. We actually have gotten all winter without one. Like, we've lived 2 winters now there, and we don't have a proper snowblower. But we do have a leaf blower.
Okay.
And the snow is so light. There's lots of snow, don't get me wrong, but it's so light there that you can just blow it away.
Oh, that's
also
good.
I don't do it.
I was going to say, when did you do it?
Yeah, I've never done it. When we moved to Moose Jaw and our moving truck moved up, the movers had to use a blowtorch to open our moving truck because it had frozen shut.
Wow.
On the drive from Ontario to Saskatchewan. And it was negative 45 the weekend we got there. And I looked at my husband and I was like, I love you.
I really love you.
I was like, okay. So, and then it took a while for his car to get there as well. And I was locked in a cold house.
So if you want to live somewhere that gets to negative 45, you can buy a house for under 350.
Yes, exactly. Like I said, pros and cons.
Exactly. So interesting. Okay, well, let's talk about the respective real estate markets in your provinces. So, Monique, tell us what you know about what is happening in the real estate market in Nova Scotia. And if you need to niche down to specifically where you live so you know, that's certainly acceptable because I don't expect you to know the entire province.
So we bought our house in 2020 of August. So we were part of those COVID buyers.
Oh, okay.
So we were incredibly lucky to like get the price that we did and especially the interest rate that we did.
Did you have to bid for it in a bidding war?
No. They actually had it priced quite high for the area at the time, and people didn't like that. So we were pretty lucky. To us, it wasn't as expensive as, because we were used to like the idea of paying $800,000 for a home in Ontario. So when we saw like $260,000 something, we were like, amazing, that's great. 3,000 square feet, an in-law suite, sign me up. So we were in.
So you did not have to compete for it.
No, we were very lucky. And then going forward, we then continue to like look at other homes. Like we use something called Viewpoint in Nova Scotia, which is like our version of like REMAX or realestate.com, all that stuff. I still look at it to this day. So I do still see.
Everyone still
looks.
Oh,
I love
looks.
It. It's like a guilty pleasure. You just like to see.
People call it real estate porn.
Yes. Okay, I love that. So seeing now, especially like comparing from when we first moved, the prices have almost doubled. And they continue to like increase. I will say that where we live, and I'll like cap it to like the Sydney and like the greater area, we notice that like a lot of homes, if they're not priced accordingly to the market, they don't sell. There's a home down the road for me that has literally been for sale since 2023.
Okay.
They can't get it sold. It is priced incredibly high, especially for what's inside the home. But then you go on the other spectrum of things where if it's priced right and people are ready to buy it, it goes like this. You can't knock it down fast enough. Like people just take it.
So that's everywhere. Mm-hmm. What you're telling me in the first situation is they're not very motivated sellers. They're probably testing the market for a price that they're looking for, and they'll probably move when someone comes along that might want their house at that price. I bet they have an incredibly frustrated realtor.
I believe it. And I can tell you for sure that they do because they've changed real estate agents multiple times because you see a new sign every few months on the front lawn.
Somebody says, I'll try now.
Yes, but the price never changes. Maybe by like a couple thousand, but that's it.
In that case, what that does tell me is it's not the realtor, it's the price.
Yes.
But sometimes people are left thinking that it is the realtor.
And I know too, a lot of like younger adults in our area are really struggling to buy a home.
Yeah.
The cost of living in Nova Scotia, in case no one knows, is really high. It's actually higher than it is in Ontario.
Really?
It is, yeah. It's one of the things that I noticed and my husband did as soon as we moved there. And it's not something that's talked about enough. There is quite a gap in between like an hourly wage and the cost of homes there. And it is a very large struggle for those people that are trying to buy. And we have a lot of transplant people like myself.
I was going to say, are they mostly people who are born and raised there, or is there a lot of people coming from the rest of Canada?
It really is starting to be much more of a mix. The people that are born and raised there have a much harder time to buy. Mm-hmm. People from away, like myself, had a much easier time. And then, as you know, Sherry, that only hurts the market more for the people who live there, who've lived there their whole life. But hopefully that changes. I don't think it will, but hopefully.
Okay. Well, honestly, it's not dramatically different to what's happening in Ontario. Everything you said resonates. Mm-hmm. It's very similar in Ontario. Things that are priced correctly sell quickly still. Things that are priced too ambitiously sit. And then, unfortunately, they become stale and get stigma. And that's the very, in most cases, it's the same case with everything, right? But good that you've like now almost doubled your house price because what you built is equity, which is fantastic. And then I don't know what your future plans are, whether you want to buy a recreational property. I don't think you need to renovate because your house is beautiful, but you wanted to do something else so you can pull from that equity and invest it differently.
I'd love to buy a duplex.
Okay.
Love an income property. That would be like my next goal.
That's a goal. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sarah Marie, what is happening in the Saskatchewan real estate market that you're aware of? And again, if you need to just talk about Moose Jaw, you're able.
Oh, I mean, there's not.
Well, you do work in banking too, so you know stuff.
I do, yes. Right. I now work in banking. It's very interesting. But like agricultural banking. Right. So if you want to do like a farming episode, we can get onto that.
I don't.
Yeah, no, I didn't think so. I will probably niche down more to Moose Jaw,
sure.
But Saskatchewan as a whole doesn't have very many cities, so I'm sure it's very applicable to the other cities as well. But Moose Jaw is kind of an interesting market. From what I have heard from the locals, for the last 100 years, the population has stayed fairly stagnant.
Oh,
which is crazy.
So not it's been mass immigration, not lots of births. Nope. A lot of military people coming and
going. A lot of military people, but they come and go.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is interesting right now because, so we purchased our house, like I said, in 2024, and we are intending on keeping it as a rental property.
Yes.
When we leave and get posted elsewhere. And we would like to rent it to other pilots and other people in the military community. And there is a huge construction project happening right now at the Moose Jaw base because Canada's bringing in the F-35 fighter jets.
Okay.
And so there's all of this like economic growth going on. And
so
a lot of people
are,
exactly. A lot of people are investing in Moose Jaw, but at the same time, we just lost the Snowbirds.
Right.
And the Snowbirds are home in Moose Jaw.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't know how long the Snowbirds are going to be out. And that's a huge draw as well, because those individuals are there for longer term contracts. So they actually normally buy in town. And funny enough, our home was formerly owned by a Snowbird.
Well, I remember when we were negotiating thinking this Snowbird doesn't need the money as much as you guys do.
Yeah.
Come on. You're starting your career. Just let's have some compassion for a fellow young up-and-coming pilot versus a Snowbird who I'm sure had money.
Yes. Well, funny enough, the house was vacant because his Snowbird posting was over,
right.
And they had left and they couldn't sell a house. And it was on the market for 90 days,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty crazy because I do see a lot of stuff flip fairly quickly now. And there was a lot of newer neighborhoods as well that are selling fairly quickly. I know another military family that's actually moving they're going to Halifax from Moose Jaw, and their house sold in a week, almost $100,000 over asking price in Moose Jaw.
Wow.
So they were very pleased.
Just a little asterisk on that, because people say things like that it was $100,000 over asking. The thing you need to fact check on that is, was the asking price accurate?
That's fair.
Or was it strategically underpriced so that they could say they got $100,000 over asking?
Well, yeah, that's a very good point as well, because you feel like you're getting...
I'm a realtor.
Oh, crazy. When I need to buy a house, I'll let you know. in the area, what it could be that it was underpriced.
I don't know.
But you always feel like you're, especially as someone from Ontario, we felt like we were getting a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like we, like Monique was saying, are used to seeing a house at $850. That's kind of the expectation for, I see some houses here that are like, for a semi, we lived in a neighborhood in Kingston for a while that we were renting, and the owners decided they wanted to sell it, and they sold it for $750.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a semi, which is great. And it was a new build. It wasn't...
On a very busy street.
It was nice. It was near Costco.
Yeah,
like,
it was
that's
great.
That's perfect.
Very busy.
But when we got to Moose Jaw and we saw fully detached, finished basement, massive deck, beautiful home for three whatever, we were like, yeah.
Right.
Like,
well,
I'm buying, you feel like you're getting a sale.
The opportunity for... Some of the other provinces, not BC, but some of the other provinces are to get people who are coming from somewhere like an Ontario or maybe a BC where prices are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I would love to sell everything that we have and move to Halifax one day and retire on the ocean.
Me too.
Because it's beautiful out there. And we would then be able to happily ever after live off the equity in our current home.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right?
And you do get a lot of older people moving to other provinces to just, you know, get their final home.
And like Monique was saying, the people who have been there forever, obviously it prices them out of it. And I have a lot of friends who live in Regina who I work with or in Moose Jaw who are the same age and also first-time home buyers. But I think it's a lot, very much about perspective of like we've seen this mass inflation in certain cities. But you've talked about recently in the Kingston market that houses are starting to level out price-wise a bit. And you can get into a nice home in the 3 to 4 range.
Yeah, I sold a lovely house in Verona this year for under $400,000 and needed a little bit of TLC. But a lot of people want to put their own TLC into it. And for somebody who will get, it was a 4-bedroom. Fully detached home in Verona, which is about 20 minutes north of Kingston, maybe not even 20 minutes. And that was great. It's a great opportunity for that. So with that, we're actually at the end of our time. And I know that we said, we obviously are all very close and very connected, that we could have done this for 3 hours, but we only have 30 minutes for our listening pleasure. I do really appreciate both of you being on the air with me today. I would love to be able to do a part two of this. So maybe we'll pre-record one of those for another day. With that though, and to you, I wish you and our listeners all a wonderful day finding your way home.
CFRC is stoked to partner with KPP Concerts on an awesome summer lineup. On June 27th, be sure to catch Long Range Hustle and Psycho Billy Legends Reverend Horton Heat on June 28th. On July 3rd, check out alt country legend Fred Eaglesmith, followed by folk punk legend Billy Bragg on July 5th. Emo is alive and well on July 8th with Arms Length and Mo Kenny come to town on July 9th. Hip-hop pioneer Souls of Mischief are here on July 21st, and we'll get some hardcore action with Spaced on July 23rd. Almond Monica brings Arabic Jazz to Kingston on August 7th, and finally, August 9th, you can see Lucero Ben Nichols. For tickets and full information on these and other awesome shows, visit kppconcerts.com.
I turn my fortune to an oracle. Tell me what becomes of me, in hopes that I'd be destined for greatness. But she only spoke of and spitting an atheist, scrambling to prove her wrong, until the jagged rocks of my ego eroded to a humble stone. to spend my life out in the garden and bring the flower home to thee. So spare the horse and carriage, I need no wedding ring, just one. Choices, consequences haunting me, but some things are so clear and obvious, I need not even think or speak. So spare.
Streets you think we could have been so walk through those doors and stand there staring. My hand slips into my coat and everything just freezes. Running out, I see you sitting in that 40-year-old man's. The boy come home, yeah. The boy come home,
That was Vancouver-based Matthew Good with The Boy Come Home from his 2007 album Hospital Music, an album written and recorded during a rather turbulent time in his life that included a divorce, a diagnosis of bipolar disorder, and a stay in a psychiatric ward following an overdose of Ativan. Leave it to Matthew Good to channel all that negative into art, as it's something that he does extremely well. The show began with New Zealand native Georgia Knott, who records as Georgia Gets By, and the track Wedding Ring, originally released as a single in May of 2026. Hello everyone, and welcome to No Chords Barred, 90 minutes featuring music by mainstream, independent, and alternative artists from around the globe, going back on occasion as far as the 1980s. Now, I'm Donald Finnegan, the host and producer of the show, one that's a direct result of my own personal hobby of turning over stones and going down rabbit holes in search of new music and artists. Now, rather than just keeping it all to myself, I don't mind sharing with the rest of the class. Because after all, it isn't about me, it's all about the artists and getting them into the ears of music listeners. So with that in mind, we'll continue on and begin this next set with a song many of you listening should know, as it peaked at number 5 on the US Billboard chart. This is Snow Patrol with Chasing Cars. We'll be right back.
If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? Forget what we're told before we get too old. Show me a garden that's bursting into life. Just lay here. Would you lie with me and just forget the world?
Say something stupid, no, you got something to lose. Cause I just can't find my brain when I'm talking to you. But I guess there's just some way about you. Don't get pissed at me right now, cause I'm pulling it out. Cause I'll get a real piss right back, cause you're pulling me down. But I guess there's just some way about ya. I'm killing time inside my head. I don't really wanna talk about it.
Short breath, cold sweat, don't call here again. I still wish you the best, I'm not ready for it. Hot take, don't change, no warning for this. I won't forget you yet, I'd rather miss you instead.
No, I'm not worried, I know I got nothing to lose. And you look like someone else when I'm thinking of you. Now you just don't have that way about you. I'm killing time inside my head. I don't really wanna talk about it. I'm barely rolling out my bed. Just too cold without you.
Short breath, cold sweat, don't call here again. I still wish you the best, I'm ready for it. Hot take, don't change, no warning for this. I won't forget you yet, I'd rather miss you instead.
Think I'm a mind.
That was Girl Puppy, the music moniker of Atlanta, Georgia native Becca Harvey, with I Just Do, a track from her 2025 EP, Sweetness. And she was preceded by the Nashville-based alternative rock band Kid Pastel with I Don't Want to Talk About It from their 2024 EP, 419. And my first official find from Luxembourg, Jana Barich, who records as Francis of Delirium. We heard this song Out Tonight from her 2026 full-length album Run Run Pure Beauty. And the set opened with the Northern Irish band Snow Patrol and their biggest hit Chasing Cars, which can be found on their 2006 album Eyes Open. This is No Chords Barred with me, Donald Finnegan, and I'll be right back after the break with another two sets of music. Welcome back to No Chords Barred. Up next, we have another song that hit the charts, this one peaking at number 3 on the U.S. Adult Chart in 1998. From her sophomore solo album Ophelia, this is Natalie Merchant with Kind and Generous.